Samantha, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. On the surface, these don't exactly seem to mesh. You know, the International Energy Agency are telling us to cease all kind of fossil fuel-fired plants, and the government announcing a brand spanking new one. Would that be a fair assessment to say these ones don't exactly go hand in hand?
Absolutely. The report is one of the most pivotal reports made so far. It was actually requested by the United Kingdom government. Basically, the idea is to help sort of inform debate and discussion for the climate summit in Glasgow later this year. Basically, the conclusions are that there must be, from today, no investment in new fossil fuel supply projects. And obviously, gas is a fossil fuel. So, you know, the major concern we have is that if we proceed with these projects, we are not complying with the roadmap. And the roadmap was specifically designed to, as sort of saying, you know, in effect, we can still achieve net zero by 2050 and stay within 1.5 degrees. Here's what we need to do. If we're not doing that, then we're not going to stay within 1.5 degrees. But more fundamentally, what does that say in terms of our collective responsibility to the globe? I mean, the International Energy Agency was set up in 1974. There's a number of countries we joined in 1979. It's set up effectively as a collective mechanism to deal with modern energy concerns. You know, and ironically, it's talking about energy security, and that's one of the issues that the government's saying, oh, you know, there's energy security issues, we need to set up a new gas supply. But this major agency is saying, no, we don't. And in fact, what we have to do is stop fossil fuel, and effectively that would allow us by 2040 to reach potential net zero emissions. And what the agency is saying is immediate and massive deployment of all available clean and efficient energy technology. Now, that is what, and by 2050, what we will see is solar. And we, you know, I mean, this is so important for Australia, but solar will be the biggest forms of energy, the single largest source of total energy supply. And fossil fuels will fall from almost four-fifths of total energy supply today to, you know, a little over a fifth. And that would largely be for production of goods where carbon is pretty much a component of the product. So we are seeing a major divestment globally away from fossil fuels. So that does not cohere with a decision to put a massive amount of public money into new gas supply. Not to even mention broader environmental and social concerns associated with deployment of funds like that.
What about the old hip pocket argument, such as it were? I mean, as you mentioned, the government has cited concerns around energy supply. They've cited that this will be economically good in creating jobs. But, you know, one of their key arguments is that this will be ensuring that energy is still cheaper for everyday Australians. Is there something to be said about that argument that these gas-fired power plants are in fact cheaper than renewables?
No, look, I think basically if you read the report, and look, I'm just really focusing on what's being said, the transition is so profound and innovation in renewables is so rapid that those are really old school arguments. I mean, what we're going to see is a jump in private and government spending, creating millions of jobs in clean energy and energy efficiency, engineering, manufacturing, construction. The prediction from the report is that will actually increase global GDP. So what we need to do is not be left behind. You know, I mean, this kind of old school argument, oh, well, you know, we're going to create jobs. But what's actually going to happen is that the global community is not going to accept products generated from a strong carbon footprint. They're going to be taxed higher. And that's going to have all sorts of trickle-down implications.
And just finally, you did mention, of course, the international response on these kind of things, or the international responsibility. What kind of message does this send, I guess, to the international community around Australia's energy commitments and commitments to net zero emissions? Is this likely to sort of have other countries looking down on Australia in terms of its commitments?
Definitely. I mean, what we're seeing here is we are a country that it's embarrassing. I mean, John Kerry, the new US special presidential envoy for climate, has basically described the climate talks in Glasgow later this year as the last best chance the world has to avoid a climate crisis. And, you know, we're not only are we coming empty-handed with no new target, we're actually accelerating onshore gas. The US president has vowed to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 52%, and he's banned new oil and gas leases on federal land. The European Commission has stopped funding oil and gas projects. Denmark and Spain have implemented a ban on gas extraction. But we, you know, the concern we have is that we're ignoring these economic and environmental imperative, and it's reckless and unfair because we have the resource capacity and we have the strength to transition our energy sector, and so many other developing countries aren't in that position.
Well, Samantha, do appreciate your insight into this one this morning. As I say, the two stories don't quite mesh in the news cycle this week, or really, you know, generally speaking, when we think about renewables. Do appreciate your time.
My pleasure.